There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We start with news from the Indian Premier League, where it is Kolkata Knight Riders who are building a phenomenal score in their innings. Still two overs left. They're 222 for five wickets, with still 12 balls remaining in this one. Runs pretty much for all of the top order. Chris Lynn got things underway with his 27. Sunil Narine got 75 from 36 balls. Robin Utapa got 24. Andre Russell scoring 31. Currently at the crease at the moment is Kartik and Gill. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you, and keep eyes on that final score. But 222 for the five with two overs remaining. That's the Kolkata Knight Riders taking on the Kings 11 Punjab. What's happening in the rugby, CBR?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is currently the Brumbies are taking on the Rebels, and they're leading that one at 27-4. More Super Rugby following a little bit later on this afternoon. Of course, the Bulls taking on the Sharks. That game is happening down in Pretoria, and the Stormers will be taking on the Chiefs. That game is happening in Cape Town. That kickoff, of course, is 5:15. What I can tell you is that the Brumbies against the Rebels, it has ended now. The Rebels beating the Brumbies in the last minute there by 27-24. So a great victory there for the boys from Melbourne. The Stormers take on the Chiefs. That kickoff is at 5:05 UAE time. And then the Bulls take on the Sharks. That kickoff is at 7:15, as I said, live from Pretoria. A bit of NRL action. People have texted in saying they haven't heard any scores. What I can tell you is the Sydney Roosters have beaten the New Zealand Warriors 32-0. The Melbourne Storm beat the Gold Coast Titans 28-14. And, of course, the men from Manly, the Manly Sea Eagles, beat the Brisbane Broncos 38-24.
Wonderful. Let's reflect on some of the games from yesterday as well, because it was the Blues who fought back to beat Gloucester, the Cherry and Whites, and lift the Challenge Cup last night. This was the Challenge Cup final taking place in Bilbao. Thrilling game. Gloucester shouldn't have lost it.
They shouldn't have lost it, Tom, as you say. They had it in the hand. And, of course, I was so hoping for Johan Ackerman that he'd bring that silverware to Gloucester, which they so badly need. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why he get brought there. But, yeah, as you say, a Gareth Anscombe penalty in the 79th minute for the Cardiff Blues sunk the Cherry and Whites. And, as you say, a very sad end to their European Challenge Cup.
Danny Cipriani back in the England fold. He's been selected in this squad to go down to South Africa, named in that squad to tour South Africa. It did, though, however, come with a warning from Eddie Jones, saying that he wouldn't be putting up with any of Danny Cipriani's antics that we've seen in the past. Danny Cipriani, matured as a player for you?
Yeah, I think he's fantastic. You know, I've always been a big fan of his, and I still think he can do a lot of good things for England. You know, I think he's one of those guys that within a couple of minutes can change a game, Tom, and I'm really glad to see him getting a good look in. It will be interesting to see England going down to South Africa now. Eddie Jones, of course, should we rather say rather outspoken type of guy. If he doesn't come back with a serious victory, I think there will be a bit of questions asked about Eddie Jones. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him to perform down in the Republic. Of course, South Africa have now brought in Rassie Erasmus as they try and build up for the World Cup. It will be very interesting to see his combination. So I think it's going to be pretty tough for England in South Africa at the moment. And as I said, I think it's a must-win situation for Eddie Jones. A lot of people, you know, Eddie Jones was the man that kind of saved England rugby, and a lot of people have been asking questions, of course, especially after the loss against France, Scotland, and then, of course, Ireland in the Six Nations. So, yeah, a lot of pressure on Eddie, but I think it's fantastic to see Cipriani back in the mix.
Interesting to see that England squad as well, because there's one name in there that might come as a bit of surprise to many England fans and, of course, New Zealand fans as well. New Zealand Rugby earlier on this week releasing Brad Shields from his contract with NZR. Brad Shields is the current captain of the Hurricanes. He will be going over to WAS to play for WAS next season, but he's going to get to play for England before he plays for a club in England.
Yeah, Tom, you know, as you say, at the end of the day, they're doing it within the rules, so I can't really comment and say that they've done anything illegally as such. But, of course, we know to be selected for England, you have to be playing in England. But, yeah, they kind of saw a gap there in the rules. I mean, he hasn't really played in England. He will now be going down to South Africa. And I think that kind of gives the indication that Eddie Jones is feeling his Lustre aren't really up to it. Of course, he's been, of course, Billy Benipola has been injured the whole season, which has really, really put a big dampener on that English Lustre. And to me, he's really struggled with combinations. I don't believe that Courtney Laws is a natural number six. I think he struggled there this season. Of course, they tried Mario Tojo at six. I don't quite think He's better than Courtney Laws, but they've been struggling with that number six position. I think obviously that's the reason for bringing Brad Shields in. I think a lot of questions will be asked in England rugby, especially if you're a young upcoming flanker. You know, maybe you thought you were in line there. All of a sudden they're bringing in this guy from New Zealand. But I think at the end of the day, it just says something about the pressure on Eddie Jones. He's got to get results now. He's got to get victories, and he'll bring in whoever he needs to achieve the results that he needs.
Let's turn our attention to a little later on, because Bilbao was where the Challenge Cup final took place yesterday. Same stadium, same field for the Champions Cup a little later.
Yeah, it's all happening. A great weekend of rugby in Spain. And as you say, at 7:45 UAE time, it will be Leinster taking on Racing 92, and a lot of people calling it the rebirth of Stuart Lancaster, because of course a lot of people have forgotten about Stuart Lancaster. He was the England coach before Eddie Jones. According to a lot of English people, had that disastrous World Cup, of course getting knocked out in the group stages by Wales, and he's got a new lease of life at Leinster, and as you say, he's taken them to, well, not quite European glory, but at least he's kind of got one hand on the trophy. Standing between him and the trophy, of course, is Racing 92. We can call them the superstars from Paris, Tom. But very interesting to see in the team lineups, of course, one of the biggest superstars, one of the greatest rugby players of all times, Dan Carter, is sitting on the bench.
So, Carter, that's the way he's been used throughout the season, though, isn't he, for Racing?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Racing 92 have brought in Pat Lambie from South Africa, former Sharks player, and he kind of seems to have settled into that number 10 jersey. But I think also one of the reasons is that Lambie is their long-term plan. Carter, of course, leaves to Kobe Steelers in Japan at the end of the season. And as you say, they have been using him off the bench. But he's such a great player. You know, he comes on in 20 minutes' time. He's a fantastic place kicker. He can change the rhythm of the game. He can change the pace of the game. He can sit in the pocket. You know, he's so versatile, and it really has worked very, very well. I think they see Lambie as the future, but I'm sure we will see an appearance of Dan Carter today in his final game, of course, for Racing 92.
No, Maxime Marchand, he was taken off with an injury last week and has been able to recover from that. He's been one of the sort of leading lights, not just for wrestling, but also for French rugby in recent times as well. He'll be missed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's a big, big blow for Racing 92. And as you say, it will be sorry that he can't make it. And a lot of pressure will be on the new guy coming into that team. But, he's been outstanding for Racing 92.
A spur of thought, though, for Leinster as well. They've been imperious throughout the entire season. And they've got a strong team there, haven't they? When you read through their starting lineup: Kearney at the back, Lamore, Ringrose, Robbie Henshaw in the midfield, Nakawa Sexton, McGrath, Healy, Cronin, Furlong, Toner, Ryan Fardy, Levy and Murphy. So all internationals in their own right as well. They're a strong outfit. And I'm glad that we've got an Irish team against a French team here.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I think, you know, it's good to show that there's still strength in the whole of Europe as such, Tom, because at one stage the top 14 teams I just kind of felt were dominating. They were buying all types of players. But as you say, Leinster have got a fantastic lineup again. Once again, a lot of pressure will be on Johnny Sexton. We know how good he is. He will once again look to control the game. To me, a very, very exciting player for Leinster, of course, is the number 14, Jordan Lamore. We saw him gain 3 caps for Ireland early on this season, and he definitely is the future. Of course, Rob Kearney there at fullback, he's been there for so many years, because Jordan Lamore is a natural fullback. He will be slotting in on the right wing this afternoon. And once again, an unchanged pack for Leinster. And as you say, that pack has been instrumental, yeah. that all-Irish front row of Kian Healy, Sean Cronin and Tadhg Furlong. So it's going to be a fantastic tussle up there. But I think I kind of fancy Racing 92. I just kind of think they got the experience there. As you said, they will be missing their star player. You know, they've got a lot of depth on the bench. And I think it's going to be fantastic down there in Spain this afternoon.
It's been a long, old season for all the teams involved, Racing and, of course, Leinster have one more game to go. In fact, let's remind ourselves of that road to Bilbao for Leinster Rugby.
That's huge. You know, you think Saracens quality that they have, their record in Europe the last couple of seasons. You know, they're the team that we've all been trying to chase. You know, we're aspiring to get to that level.
From our point of view, we're playing against back-to-back champions, the best side in Europe. So, no better fixture to focus the mind.
No, but this is a big one. We're coming up against the standard bearers of the last few seasons, and you know, and they've led the way, and they've led the way well. So, exciting one to be a part of.
To win it in 2018. Now to
respect everything that Saracens do, and we knew they're a champion side, they're going to fight and keep fighting, and they did that, so yeah, it's a tough game, all right.
Getting the win was an amazing feeling, and on to the next one now. You know, the magnitude of that occasion, and you know, the players you're playing against.
It shows the hunger of the squad right now. They really want to do something this year in a blue jersey.
It's knockout rugby. There's no chance to make mistakes in it, so we're happy to be in the semis.
Huge amount of work has gone in behind the scenes. Huge amount of work has gone into the players and from the players themselves. And for us now, it's just about we've prepared. The group has prepared well this week, and hopefully that leads to positive performance.
So, as when you're in the midst of winning the period of success that we had, you think it's just going to be plain sailing every year, going to be like that. And I suppose every year you win it, you think it's easier and easier. And then every year you don't have it, it seems like it's getting harder and harder. So. Yeah, it's a tough competition to win.
Look, we're just going to, you know, we can't control what they do. We've got to go out there and just put our best foot forward and perform far better than we did 12 months ago. And if we can do that, then I think we're heading in the right direction.
It was a great day. It was amazing to drive into the ground today. You know, a lot of blue out in the streets. It's a fantastic occasion. I think the support that we had, it goes so far in terms of fueling the teams.
I think we had 100,000 supporters in the Saracens and the Scarlets game combined. And again, for us, the occasion at the weekend was awesome, in part by what the crowd brought to it.
You know, you're a part of something really special, and winning is, you know, it's such a great feeling. And the more you win, the more you want to win.
When you come to a final, you know, anything can happen, we know that. You know, we've been underdogs before in finals and won. We've been favourites, you know, we've lost. So, you know, you need to be, you know, humble and realise that, you know, everything's about our preparation now and keeping our feet on the ground.
In the context of a season, you know, it's the goal that every club team wants to aspire to, is to get to a Champions Cup final and there'll be no distractions.
Everyone's really excited for it, to be honest, and it's completely different. It's been a fair few years since we've been on this stage.
They're a side that's coming to their peak at the end of the season. We've got threats all over the park, and it's a serious challenge.
It's going to come down to who wants it at the end of the day. I think it's going to be a really exciting game to be involved in.
I think it's huge, and there's no bigger club game, you know, than playing in a final of the Champions Cup, and you know, we're 100% looking forward to it. What you've done in the past, what you've done in the pool games, what you've done in the quarterfinal, semi-final, counts for nothing, because every game starts from zero.
We've all worked incredibly hard. Everyone in the club has worked incredibly hard to get back to these days now. It's just about making sure that we've prepared as well as we possibly can, so we can perform as well as we possibly can in the game. So, yeah, it's going to be a great challenge. Yeah, that's why we all turn up for work every day.
Let's go!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
So KKR have come to the end of their innings. They have finished with a formidable 245 for the loss of 6 wickets. Canterbury Searles and Gill were the two men left at the crease at the end there. 245 for 6 was the KKR result, which means that Kings XI Punjab will need 246 to win that one, which is a significant score in the world of T20 cricket. Lots more to look forward to with the cricket. I'll keep you up to date with what's going on in the IPL. Rugby-wise, we're getting ready for the big kickoff a little later on.
Yeah, Tom, as you said, at 7:45 Dubai time, it's Leinster taking on Racing Metro 92. Of course, that's the European Rugby Cup final. That's happening in Balboa in Spain this afternoon. If you're a Super Rugby fan, you can look forward to the Stormers taking on the Chiefs. That's happening at 5 o'clock UAE time. And the late kickoff is the Bulls taking on the Sharks. That game's live from Pretoria at 7:15. If you're into your league, I can tell you the Catalan Dragons will take on Whitehaven. That's at 5:30 UAE time kickoff. And then the Kosovo Tigers taking on St. Helens. That will be kicking off at 5:32. A few scores from earlier this morning. The Lions went down to the Highlanders, 39 points to 27. And the Brumbies lost against the Rebels. That score, 27-24.
Just to let you know that Pakistan and Ireland are underway. This is Ireland's first test match. It's taking place over in Ireland at the moment. So good to see Ireland in the test arena now. They're taking on Pakistan. It is day two of the five, although day one was a complete washout. So the Irish weather coming to the party yesterday, washing out the entire day play. They are on the field now, though. It's lunch, and Pakistan are 67 for the loss of two wickets. Sahel and Shafiq, the two men who are not out, 28 and 22 respectively. Boyd Rankin and Johnny Murtagh with the two wickets a little earlier on today. So a lot to look forward to with regards to all things cricket. Right, Ross Crist, over to you, live guests.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tom. I was in the capital yesterday, and I headed down to the Abu Dhabi Muscle Show. And for those of you listening at home, if you haven't got a chance to head down to the Abu Dhabi Muscle Show, well, today's the last day for it, and it's a very, very cool event. Way to go from Bassam and everyone who helped put that one on. But I was roaming through the Muscle Show here, and I came across these two gentlemen that are joining us now, Dr. Gianlonzo Danielle and Dr. Jamie Figueroa Conte. So, gentlemen, first of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Now, gentlemen, I know you guys are doctors, but the one thing that really came to mind when we met, you guys are sports medicine doctors, and too often I'm guilty of it, Tom's guilty of it, CBR's guilty of it. We give all the glory to the sportsmen. We give all the glory to the coaches. But, you know, the guys that are in the training room, the guys that are looking after them, the guys that you basically get them ready for battle, we often forget about them. And, you know, so when I bumped into you guys, I said, this is it. This is your guys' time to shine. So thanks for coming on the show. Welcome to Dubai. I understand both of you guys are brand new to Dubai. 2 weeks here, 2 months here. You made it down to Barasti. This is basically the center point, the focal point of anything sporting here in Dubai. And I want to talk to you real quick about your client, about your company here, Ortho Sports. Now, Ortho Sports has been in the region now, I believe, for 18 years. I see their signage up everywhere. What exactly is Ortho Sports all about?
Yes, you're right. Ortho Sports is a clinic. It was mainly for orthopedic surgery, you know, like knee, hip replacement, shoulder and everything. But now we're focusing more in sports medicine. Dr. Kasim, who's the top doctor there, the owner, he brought us from abroad to try to give Dubai the sports medicine you guys deserve here.
And Gianlonzo, you came over here from Italy. Yeah. Any specific sports that you try to get patients from, or is it just the wide world of sports?
Well, you know, of course, football is the most popular sport in Italy, but as a sport doctor, you must be able to care for all the athletes, because any athlete in any different sport has different needs. The football player has different needs than the boxer or the triathlete or the marathon runner, so we must be prepared to care for all of their needs, you know.
And you just mentioned a wide array of sports right there, and I want to come back to you with this one. Who are the craziest people that you have to treat? Who are the people that walk into your waiting room and you say, oh my goodness, not someone who's doing ice skating, or not another rugby player, because these guys are just the hardest people to treat. What would you say, what sport is that?
Well, I will say again, each sport has its own peculiarities, and everyone is different depending on the level. So we have to treat professional athletes are different from, you know, recreational athletes or competitive athletes. So once again, you have to be prepared to who are you in gonna front of it, you know. So because I mean, of course, a professional player everything must be perfect about what he's gonna do, but also competitive athletes also, they train very hard, so it's not that because they are not professional. So I mean,
and are you seeing many professional athletes and ortho sports popping into the clinic, or is it primarily, you know, washed up guys like myself holding a microphone?
No, well, actually, ortho sport is growing a lot in this moment, and we are getting a lot of new patients. So yeah, I'm sure we are going to be prepared to see a lot of professional teams and professional athletes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that 90% of sportsmen here in Dubai are not professional, are just amateur or semi-professional. So we're able to see any kind of sportsman, including those people that can or want to make a sports for the first time, you know. So we are giving them advice how to start to be a sports person, how to have a healthier life. And so everyone is welcome in the clinic.
Looking at your business at the moment, what is a common injury that everybody's sitting with at the moment? Is there one specific thing that's quite common that you've been treating over, let's say, the last 2 months or so?
Well, no, there's a lot of different injuries as well, but I will say that back pain is one of the most primary care injuries, but there's a lot of knee issues too and shoulder issues. We have a lot of footballers there. Although they are amateur, they have problems, you know, that maybe they are not well trained or something. They have a lack of strength on their quadriceps and everything, so they got ACL injury, bad injuries in the field. So we want to get those patients now.
Now, you just mentioned football, and I had a brief conversation with you guys yesterday about the soccer and football. You guys have quite the resume for some of these teams that you've gotten to treat here. I mean, my jaw dropped. I wanted to drop the mic. Just tell us a brief about your history, where you've worked, where you've been.
Yeah, I've been trained mostly in Italy. My specialty degree was at the Catholic University of Sacred Heart in Rome. And then I got, anyway, many international experiences abroad about clinical or research or even just training. I was being in Spain or US or Germany. So this was mostly my training. Then my work experience were on these national teams, cycling national teams and kickboxing national teams. And also I was working with some professional teams mostly in football and volleyball. So this is mostly my background. So as you can see, it's important that you train, you are able to treat athletes from many different sports.
Well, although I am Mexican, I went to Spain like 10 years ago, and there I got my degree in sports medicine at the University of Barcelona, and I was sports medicine resident doctor at FC Barcelona. So I have the experience with football there, mainly with academy and under 18, under 20, under 21 teams. And I have a little experience with the first team, with some players like Douglas. He was bad injured all the time he spent there in Barcelona. And I was a doctor in Espanyol de Barcelona in the B team, that is an under 23 in the B league in Spain, in La Liga. And then I came to Mexico, and I went the medical manager of two different professional teams there, one in Yucatan, in Mérida, that is called Venados, and one in Tepic near Guadalajara that is called Coras. So I had the experience in football and everything, and injuries, knee, you know. So that's my expertise now.
You're with FC Barcelona, one of the biggest football teams in the world. You're with the Italian national team, World Cup champions. I mean, these are world-class players that are coming into your training room. How much pressure is it on you guys from the club to make sure that this product keeps moving? And then how much do you try to protect the player for their own health and safety? Because, I mean, there has to be a quite the balance there, because I'm sure that these club owners want the Messis to be out on that field. And I'm just curious to see what you think on that.
Well, you're right. Sorry. We have a lot of pressure from the player, from the club, and from the coach. So imagine, that is a lot of pressure. So sometimes we are not able to have a sleep in the night, because we are just thinking in how we're going to recover this player. We need him for a final or for difficult game or something, or a classical game like Real Madrid against Barcelona. So it is so difficult to be there, you know. It's a lot of pressure.
In Italy, coming here, and what was it, 2006 they won the World Cup, I believe, Italy winning the World Cup. Does the doctors, does the training staff, did they get any recognition at the end of the year Italian banquet?
Well, I must say Italian Federation, I mean, puts a lot of care in sports medicine, so they always make sure that all the staff, that is, as you say, trainer, physios, medical doctors, I mean, all of them must be at the top of the quality, or of course you cannot get such results.
especially when you're working with these big clubs, how much say does a doctor really have in a situation where, for example, we've got a Lionel Messi that's a 50-50, should he go on, should he not go on? It's a big game. How much do they really listen to you, or is it a scenario where the coach goes, just make him play whatever you need to do?
Well, the player and the coach will say, we want him to go, you know, and you need to be very careful with that, because if you push a player a lot, then you will regret in the future. So you'll need to be very clever in that specific spot of the practice.
Head injuries, part of the game. We see it more in contact sports such as American football, striking sports like MMA and boxing. But I saw a study put out there that there's actually more head injuries in the game of football than there are a number of other sports. So we do see some concussed guys going out there. And it's been brought to the light with Will Smith's concussion movie. How aware are you guys now? Are you guys more aware than you were about 10 years ago with head injuries? Has it just become more and more rapidly advanced?
Yeah, this is a very interesting topic. Actually, head concussion, we are studying it a lot, and we are much more aware now about this issue than in the past. And as you said, in some sports like boxing or kickboxing, of course, head concussions are quite frequent, but there are specific rules about it. Like, for example, a boxer, after getting a knockout, he cannot fight, he cannot even train for the next 30 days because he has to recover. So in this sport, in this combat sport, there is a lot of attention about the rules coming from the trainers about this topic. But in other sports where concussions are also frequent, like, as you said, football, soccer, American football, there is still less attention about this topic because they still don't know. We are still studying about it. So, yeah.
Looking at athletes of nowadays to athletes of the past, they're like well-oiled machines, especially the training methods. Most of these sports, everybody's professional. Do you think the new training methods have made your job easier or more difficult? Do you find that there's more injuries now because people are professional and training so much harder? Or do you think the training methods have really improved the health of athletes?
Yeah, well, I think that the training method is much better now. Physical trainers are focusing more in the functional patterns than in athletic performance or something. You know, like if you are a football player, you don't need to run 1,000 sprints in your training. So now these physical trainers are focusing more in the game, in how is the game going and how is the game developing in order to prevent injuries. So they and we are so much in the same channel now, you know, like we're working together with the physical trainers.
Gentlemen, I have to ask you, so I'm relatively new to the sport of football, but now I love it. I follow it. I'm so passionate about it. I love watching it every single Saturday and throughout the week. One part, maybe coming over from America, American perspective, that was hard for me to understand was the amount of diving in football. And then you bring out the medical staff, okay? Then this guy goes on the sidelines, he gets a couple cans of hairspray on his leg there, and then he runs back on the pitch. So, if I'm watching a game, I'm watching, you know, the El Clasico, and I see about, we'll say 10 injuries, or 10 medical staff injuries. How many of those are real versus how many of that is acting?
Well, this is such a hard question. Anyway, I will say most of them are real, you know. Yeah, we are not used to, I mean, we as medical doctors, we are serious, we are professional, of course, in it, so we don't like about cheating or this kind of behaviors, you know.
Well, so sometimes you need to see the clock. If the clock is near to 90 minutes and there you are winning something, maybe you can have a doubt, okay? So it's very difficult to say.
Let's bring it back to ortho sports and the average Joe. So what type of clients are you looking for? Maybe our listeners at home, they're dealing with a little niggle from, you know, their average once a week basketball game, or maybe they're trying to get back into shape, get back into the gym. Or would this be a prospective client to come into Ortho Sports and have you guys check them out?
Yes, absolutely. We are prepared to look for athletes of any level, from the professional to just the recreational athletes. So we will have, in particular, a particular program that is called Exercise Prescription. And this is about even elderly adults who can train with us, because exercise is actually a medicine. It's an important part of therapy in some conditions, like hypertension or diabetes or high cholesterol, you know, so these patients will benefit a lot from exercise, but just if it's prescribed with attention and with the right program, you know.
Integrated sports medicine, orthopedics, physiotherapy, sports massage, which I've had one before and it was amazing.
Yeah, you need to try our sports masseur. He's great. He's the greatest masseur of the world. You know, I have tried him and he's a very, very professional guy. So I highly recommend you.
Gentlemen, for everyone listening at home right now, and we're going to get this up on our Instagram and our Facebook and everything like that. If someone wants to come in, visit you guys, maybe they're a little bit interested, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
I mean, we are present on all the social media like Facebook, Instagram. We have our website, and I mean, so it's very easy to contact us. It's Ortho Sports Medical Center, and yeah, just book for an appointment. It's the best way, I think, is just calling us.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for hopping in here. Dr. Jamie Figueroa-Conde, sports medicine specialist, and Dr. Gio Lorenzo Danielle, sports medicine. They're at Ortho Sports Medicine Orthopedic Center. They've been in Dubai for 18 years. Come in and visit them if you have a little bit of injury worries yourself.
Thanks, Ross.
Thank you for inviting us. Big thanks to the guys
there for joining us live here on The Grill, talking of injuries. One man who will not be turning out for Leinster this afternoon in the Champions Cup final is a Leinster man through and through, Jamie Heaslip, big fan of, a friend of the show as well. Jamie, however, was honoured just last week by the club at the official end of season dinner. His career has come to a conclusion because of a recurring injury that he can't get over, so he has hung up his boots, but he will be watching on with interest.
Please welcome Jamie Heaslip.
There's a lot of love for you in this room and you can feel it.
Yeah, no, look, it's as I've said, I'm a very proud Leinster man. I see the world very much through blue tinted glasses, and I was never more prouder at the weekend seeing the lads do the job and getting another opportunity to put another star in the jersey. That's what drives us all. That's what drove us before we had a star in the jersey, and that's what drives everyone that plays in Leinster jersey. I wish I could play on for a couple of more years, but that's not to be. I did everything that I could. I have a lot to thank for all the strength conditioning, medical staff, doctors, patients from the coaches, patience from the players, from putting up my smelly banter for the last 12 months, and it's been a great time.
Is it possible for you to select one highlight over another, or are there just so many?
I've been asked that question a lot over the last 12 months, and in Leinster, the two that stand out, there's one really dark moment, is semi-final 2006 against Munster. I think the organisation, players, fans, everyone had to kind of look at themselves after watching Rog hop the hoarding and jump into the crowd and kind of ask the question of, you know, it was a bit of a moment, where we want to go. And then fast forward 3 years, 2009 in Crow Park was a bit of a seminal moment for the club. A lot of players like Johnny kind of stepped up and made his presence known, other players coming through as well, and for us to kick on as well and win that year. And then 2000 and the Northampton one. 2011 is the one that stands out. Just going into that change room at half-time and having a strange calmness, knowing, having utter belief in the squad of you know, that we'd made mistakes. They'd gotten ahead of us, but we knew that we could get back into it and to actually go out then and do it. Was a pretty special moment for us all. Ahead of me publicly announcing it, I told very few people. Obviously, I talked quite closely with my wife about it, and then we had talked about it a lot when it kind of be laid on the cards. But from the medical yeah. side, I went into Mick Dawson and was telling Mick. Now, the first thing Mick actually said to me was, "Do you want to buy two season tickets?" Which is very Mick, but the second thing followed was, it was straight away after I said yes, was we'd like you to walk out and kind of bookend it in the Saracens game in front of 50,000 people. Yeah. And it kind of showed a kind of man Mick is, kind of been very thoughtful, and B, what the club is like. And I was a bit late that day. I had troubles flying in to get there, but everyone kind of helped me get there and just show what the club is about, to be able to walk out and, you know, kind of say thanks to the fans, players, everyone. It was a pretty special moment, and I was a little bit blown away, to be honest.
What have the last few months been like for you?
Last few months have been interesting. I don't know, it's a result of having a schedule given to me by Ronan or Guy for the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years, that I crave kind of order and a schedule and structure. So I try and structure my day and will schedule a coffee with anyone if they want to meet me. But yeah, no, it's been interesting. Myself and my wife, she's expecting a child.
Congratulations. How soon?
She's due in August. Wow, so we have that very exciting chapter ahead of us, and we have a couple of other, you know, we're moving into a new home, a new chapter, all that. So that's all, it's all kind of very exciting, and then kind of after all that, I have to kind of, yeah, start a new chapter and figure out something. So I'm just meeting people and trying to figure out what that path is. I've been very lucky to do something for so long, since I was like 8 years old. And it's very rare that you get to do something that you truly love. I'm a big believer in karma, so I had to balance all the bad things I did with a trip to Ethiopia. No, I'm really a good person, I swear. No, it was an amazing trip. I've gone away with them before, and it blew me away. And yeah, look, I always had one eye on the future in rugby. Rugby is a tough sport. I mean, I think average career length is about 6-7 years. So that was always in the back of my mind. And I was always the type of player that liked. I thought I was a better player if I had outside interests, and it gave me a lot more balance. And you know, Leinster allowed me to do that, to be honest, and it was great, because once I turned up, did my job, was a good pro, and played any minutes, I was kind of, everyone was happy, and it let me go off and kind of fulfil the other kind of drives and make a better player of me. But yeah, I still don't know how, I still don't have the answer for anyone what I'm actually going to do.
As Jamie, I said with the guys earlier on, you know, about leaving with everybody's gratitude, you know, you leave with that. You're a legend of Leinster rugby, of Irish rugby, of Irish sport. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you so much for everything you did here. Jamie Heaslip, ladies and gentlemen.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
A quick reminder, if you'd like to win that new Liverpool 2018-2019 home shirt signed by the entire squad, all you have to do is to text in the answer to today's question. The question we're asking you is, what is the official or unofficial anthem of Liverpool Football Club, the song that is sung by the Liverpool faithful at Anfield before each and every home game and is most associated with the club. Why are we asking that? Because you've got three Liverpool greats here at Barasti tomorrow. They're giving you the opportunity to win a trip to Anfield, but also that opportunity to win the signed shirt as well. More details throughout the rest of the show. In fact, let's stick with the football, because Ross Crist has been back out and about meeting guests and learning on his journey to find out all things football.
Yeah, that's exactly right there, Tommy. I was catching a sunrise on a certain hotel in TCOM when I bumped into my good friend over here, Mr. Rob, and he was telling me about this team that he manages called the Slugging Goats. And first of all, he brought some of the players with him. So big thanks to these guys for coming on the show. Matt, Connor, and Rob. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having us.
Now, first off, before we get into Dubai Amateur Football League and you guys being the champions, we have to start with this. Slug and Goat. Now, can we say this on radio? Yes, Rob?
Okay, yeah, I can handle this.
How do we get this name?
So, team started about 6 years ago. And it was more because we'd missed the football from back at home, that you'd play on like your Sunday morning, things like that. And we came up for the name because we decided at that point in time, maybe the standard of player wasn't so high, but you were either a slug or a goat. So at that point in time, we probably had 90% slugs, 10% goats. But I think you can pretty much guess what is a slug and what is a goat.
I get you here. And sitting to your right, we have Connor. And Connor, I'm assuming you're on the goat side of things?
I'd like to think so, yeah. I'd like to think so. As captain of the team, yeah, I'd like to think so.
Chat.
I've been a goat this year.
And how long have you been with the team, and how long have you been playing in the Dubai Amateur Football League?
This is my second season playing for the Slung Goat, second season in Dubai. Like I said, we talked a bit off air. Last year we won the first division. This year got promoted up to the Premiership, and obviously first team to do back-to-back league titles.
And I think it's amazing that you guys have promotion and relegation in an amateur football league out here. So there's got to be a demand for the amount of players and the amount of teams coming in and out of the league each year, Matt?
Yeah, there's a huge model. I mean, with the Football League out here, there's a lot of ex-professional footballers. Connor on my left likes to think he's an ex-professional, but he didn't quite make it on the international scene. But all jokes aside, there's a lot of ex-pros we've played against, some we play with. Sean Clancy, fantastic footballer, probably arguably the Slug and Goat's best player. Connor would disagree with that. But yeah, it's a great outlet. You've got four leagues across Dubai competing for the trophies, cups. We missed out, unfortunately, on Sunday night in the cup competition, but the strength of character in the team saw us through on Wednesday, and we took the league crown, which is brilliant.
And I'm going to assume that there's a social aspect to being on the Slug and Goats. I saw it. I think I interrupted a team meeting at Rock Bottoms at 4:30.
I think, again, I can take that. Yeah, I mean, that again, it's one of the things that I particularly missed coming over here was the social side of like a football team from back at home. So since we started, it was 2012. We've now got two teams. We've got 60, 70 lads signed on. And then we've got another, I would say, anyone who's sort of signed on for us in the past or played for us in the past, it's becoming like a bit of a cult over here, you know, where you're on nights out and it's put on the group, where are the Slugs at? You know, so the social side of it is as important as the football.
And Rob, how did you get dragged into holding the clipboard on the sidelines? Did you always have a gravitation towards coaching, or is this something you just wanted to dabble with, or did they force you on the sideline?
Wait.
Gravitation towards burgers.
I'd like to think I used to play at a good level myself. And when I first came over here, I played the first couple of seasons. Then I started to manage it. And then one season, I just went to completely managing it from playing. And within that season, I think I put on about 3 stones, so there was no way back after that. But you do miss it, particularly like the game we had Wednesday night. When you used to play all the time, you miss playing. But the team we've got in place now is a serious football team, no doubt about it.
Connor, are you happy with the manager?
Yeah, back-to-back league titles really speaks for itself, really. We have our moments, I'm sure, during the season, like any team, a serious team does. But, yeah, we've had a very good, successful 2 years, and I'm very happy. Yeah.
How often will you guys get on the practice field together, or is it just a game day squad?
Well, we talk about being serious, we talk about social. We actually haven't really trained this year, which sort of speaks more for our success in a bit more of a way, really. We would like to train more, probably, than we have done this year. We trained 3 times a week during pre-season, and pretty much from a couple of games into the season, so that training just stopped due to commitment work, other things really. A lot of people are busy, you know, after hours, so that really says sort of the success has been that extra bit special.
And Matt, it seems like there's no shortage of football grounds out here to train on. Where in the Dubai Amateur Football League can we see you guys playing at?
So we play up at the Jebel Ali Shooting Club. We call it the Alley. As a team, I've been, like Connor, here 2 years, and we've never lost there. So we've got an unbeaten record at home. Arguably one of the best pitches that you will find. Premier League teams come out here to train on. It's unbelievable. It's an absolute carpet. You can't blame your touch on it. We've got a few players, myself included, who try to, but we're just not the best with our first touch. I've got Lewis Finn on my right, who doesn't even get on because his touch is so bad. But the standard of the pitches is fantastic, and it means you can get the ball down and play. We don't like to resort to the standard long ball. We haven't got anyone huge in our team. A couple think they are in the shower, but, you know, I'll keep that off the radio. But yeah, the pitches are brilliant. We'd love people to come down and watch us up at the Alley, and come and join us for a few straight arm waters in the social club after. On that note, I think we're going to bring in our assistant manager, Robert Searle. He's looking at me. He looks keen to get on the radio. Let's bring our assistant manager in. Robert, come on. Come join us.
Shake of the head over there. Not convinced. Rob, let's sort of get your thoughts on standards at the moment, because you're talking there about the growth of the game here at an amateur level. Have you seen the standards increase as well over the years?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, when we started, we started at the bottom league. So we've come throughout the leagues, and I think it was about 3-4 seasons ago, we played the Irish team who have won it for the past 6 years, yeah. And we got beaten 19-1. That was just when I first took over the team. So I knew then that the standard was serious in the top league. But I always remember that day, because I think after it, we made sort of wholesale changes within us. But I mean, I played sort of lower level, non-league level back at home, top level amateur, and the standard of the top league is definitely not out of place to certainly the lower part of the non-league back at home. You know, and you were talking about facilities before. The pitches you play on, I mean, the pitch we play on is literally a Premier League standard pitch, you know. So for the lads who are out there who like the football and aren't getting involved, I just think it's I mean, these lads will tell you the facilities are unbelievable. You mean, you don't get a bad pitch. You know, back at home, you turn up and you have a walk around the pitch, say home in the UK, and you see whether you fancy playing or not here, that just every surface is just absolutely perfect. You know, and you've got a good mix of, like, I'd say you've probably got about 8 or 9 ex-professionals in the league, and then lads who have all played at, you know, pretty good levels.
Conor, just get your thoughts, because one of the things we talk about quite often here is the melting pot of culture, so many different nationalities coming, calling Dubai home at the moment. Is that reflected on the football pitch as well? You've got people from all corners of the globe coming, bringing different styles of football.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're predominantly a British team, I think, fair to say. A mixture of different lads from the UK, North, South, myself and the Isle of Man. And then we've got Spanish-based teams, French-based teams, predominantly stick to their same nationalities, mix of friends, social. You know, when you come to Dubai with such a variety of cultures, you tend to sort of gravitate towards your own. Yeah. And that, we definitely find that in the leagues. Yeah, you've got sort of Dubai Irish, and one of the sort of bigger, more established clubs. They've got 8-9 teams across a variety of leagues. So you definitely find the different sort of cultures mix together, stay together, they play together, and you see that on the football pitch. We're quite a frantic paced team, sort of quite British in its way, a lot of high pressure. We try to get the ball down, like Matt said, and it's difficult not to when you play on the facilities that we do.
Yeah. Matt, just want to get your thoughts on the sort of growth of the game here at amateur level. I mean, you guys have had great results as well, but looking to the future as well, if there were the decision makers listening in at the moment out there, what advice would you give? What would you as players like to see happening here? Is it more teams to play against? Is it more facilities? Is it more governance?
I'm glad you asked. I mean, myself and Conor, we're sports coaches out here. We're actually football coaches. So we're working with what we like to class as the youth of the generation, 4 to 17-year-olds. We've actually in the last kind of 6 months brought in three or four of our under 17s from the company we work for. I'll give them a plug, Elite Sports Academy. Why not? And we just want to keep driving people forward, because when these 17-year-olds get to that age where they disappear off to university in the UK, or if they stay here in the UAE,
their pathways stop.
I mean, we're trying to set up links with local professional clubs, but for now, teams like us can offer these guys pathways. For us as a club, I mean, we've been inundated in the last 24 hours with people messaging through the Facebook page wanting to come and trial and join.
Really?
The word has obviously spread that Slugs and Goats are the big team in town now, and they want to come and play. There's going to be changes behind the scenes, I'm sure. Congratulations, Rob Kempton's having a baby. Whether there's going to be a managerial merry-go-round in the summer, players will potentially leave, some will come in. There's going to be changes in the directorship at the top. We've got Caleb Clancy, 3-year-old son of one of our players, who's going to step in as the director of football role. So there's going to be a lot of changes, and things will be different, but we just need to make sure that we continue doing what we're doing on the pitch. And
links to the professional game over
just
here.
Just interrupt, why not, Conor?
I think the links to the professional game over here, I find they're very separate. The Dubai Amateur Football League is the Dubai Amateur Football League, yeah, for expats, and the professional league, I know I've seen recently in the news something about that they're looking to try and introduce the expat rule, where you can play, if you're good enough, you can potentially play in the leagues, which has not been done before, which is a step forward both in the professional game in the UAE FA, but also likely, I think there is players in the amateur league, like you say, with professional backgrounds that I'm sure, given the opportunity, would love to try and play and still play the professional dream, and why not out here? So that's a step forward, I feel, that could be beneficial for the players, and definitely, like you say, for the youth. For today, I find when they get to 18 and they're looking to go to either university abroad or stay here, that opportunity and platform to carry on their career, whether it's just recreationally, is not there at the minute in Dubai. And it's something that obviously as coaches, and we're obviously passionate about in our job, would be also good to get involved in the amateur league and within the UAE FE too.
Matt, can't help but notice you're wearing your Everton kit out here today. We spent the first 18 minutes of the show discussing Wayne Rooney possibly coming over to DC United, leaving Everton. Thoughts on that?
Not surprised. You actually sat talking to two Everton fans and one Liverpool fan sandwiched in between here, so this could kick off. But I'm not surprised. I mean, Wayne Rooney, he was a class act. He's filtering his way out. A lot of players are now looking for that outlet in America. Yeah, you'd say he's finished. We'd say he's seasoned and experienced. But
that's the difference between the two clubs there, aren't
there? Here we go. But Gerard, all the best to him.
He's just there, but he was gone after he was finished. He left. Yeah. Rooney will stay.
If he goes to America, to DC United, and he can keep playing, we've seen through Robbie Keane and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Ashley Cole, even people like, who's that guy there?
Schweinsteiger.
Liam Ridgewell, arguably one of the worst English footballers ever, has gone out and made a success of himself. So all the best to him. He's been a class act for English football. Would you agree?
You can't question his career. He's a class act. He's been world class. But yeah, it's time over for him.
Connor, we're 2 weeks out, Champions League final.
Yeah.
What are we thinking?
Very positive. Yeah. I saw the Munich Madrid tie, very open game. I think a very open game suits Liverpool's front three. I question our midfield against their midfield. I think Modric, Cruz and Casemiro have a bit too much for Henderson, Milner and if it's Wijnaldum. But when you've got Salamane and Firmino, I think they're, even Madrid, they'll fear them. So you've got to be positive. You've got to look forward. And I'm definitely looking forward to it.
All right, gentlemen, for all the fans listening at home, maybe they want to become a cheerleader. Maybe they want a player. Maybe they want to come for some of the social activities for the Slugs and Goats. Maybe they just want to come out and see you play, see the Dubai Amateur Football League. Rob, what's the best way to get in contact with the club or maybe try to get involved with the league?
Okay, so to give the league a little bit of a mention, so league can be contacted at league@dubaifootball.com. The gentleman, Dean, who's run the league for quite a few years now, it's actually gone for 30 years, which I think is incredible over it. But next year they're introducing a fourth league, which is going to take it to five leagues for the men's. There's going to be under sixes to under 16s football, under 21s league. So he's really trying to move it on now. And, you know, I think the organisation is really good. You know, so I think he's keen for anyone to get involved, whether that be to participate or to help in different ways. But I think each year that we've been involved, we've seen it grow a little bit more. You know, and now whenever you're out and about and things like that, you always bump into someone who's involved with it. So I just think the facilities are that good out here. If people aren't getting involved, I think they're missing a trip.
So if somebody wants to come down, wants to try out, wants to get involved with Slugs and Goats, best way for them to do that is?
You'll find Rob Kempton at the Barasti's most Friday and Saturday nights.
Come to Barasti about 10 o'clock on all the dinner. No, we've got a Facebook page, Slugs and Goats FC. Yeah. You know, so we could just be messaged on there. And as I say, there's plenty of teams. You know, the nice thing, just to go back to the when we won it this year, is we're definitely one of the smaller clubs out here. Yeah. So I don't think anyone expected us to do that. You know, and we've done all that from forming the club to now having two teams to them winning the top league over here in the space of 6 years. You know, and I know the league is searching for more teams as well. So it's definitely good to get involved.
Fellas, congratulations on the results. Thanks so much indeed for your time today as well. Enjoy all the final day of the Premier League season tomorrow, of course. You'll be down here to see the Liverpool lads or not?
Yeah, planning to after work. Yeah, we'll definitely want to do that.
I'll be down here tomorrow from 6, so looking forward to that. Congratulations again. Thanks so much indeed.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for your time.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.